All right, welcome back. Let's get going with hour number three. Dr. Henry Nyman is up late back east in the Eastern time zone. Thank you for being here, Henry. We've got some pretty big news on this vaping story. Continues to really show a lot of potential to break wide open as soon as somebody can figure out exactly what's going on with it. So what do you have today, and welcome back?
Well, it's good to be back. It's only been a couple of days. There have been quite a few developments. The biggest story, which I'll lead up to, is a letter, actually, that appeared today in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it basically discounted the more popular explanation of what was going on with respect to the majority of the cases, which were linked to THC uses. And right. One of the issues with them was the contaminant of vitamin E acetate, which was present in about half of the samples. And
yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about that early. That's why I wanted Henry to come back on tonight. The vitamin E acetate was a big early focus point. Go ahead.
Right. And then there was discussion of the lipid-laden macrophages that were present also. And that led a lot of people to assume that all of these cases were due to people using it to vape THC and basically get street products that were contaminated with the vitamin E acetate, and that's what was causing all of the problems. The problem with that initially, you know, from the very beginning was that the vitamin E acetate wasn't in all of the people that were basically using it for THC. And then there were other cases that indicated they didn't use it for THC. They only used it for nicotine, and they still ended up with that disease. So to work my way back to that big story and some of the issues that kind of suggest that these earlier explanations of contamination by street drugs is not going to provide the total answer. And after this paper, it sounds like it may not even provide a partial answer. Though the number of deaths continue to increase. There were two more deaths yesterday. First death in Virginia and the first death in New Jersey. And then this morning, Alabama announced their first death. And if you recall from last week, Alabama was one of the four states that had not reported any cases. It was the only larger state. The other three were all pretty small, at least in population. It was Alaska, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire. But Alabama still had no cases. And it wasn't that they didn't have any suspect cases. They just hadn't done all the testing. But this morning they announced they had a death. And in fact, that's the only case they have still. So their website doesn't list any confirmed cases other than the one death. But in any event, that got the number up to 18 or 19, depending upon how you're counting them. So they are increasing pretty quickly and pretty steadily. But the one that actually caught my attention, and I didn't mention it to you previously because I knew there was more than one case, one death that was in a case that was a heavy smoker and was not smoking THC. He was a nicotine smoker. And that was kind of important because that would most of the nicotine smokers are getting their samples from stores that are fairly accredited, and Juul is one of the big providers for the nicotine ones, and so that they would be less likely to have the contents contaminated that they would likely be the nicotine that is normally smoked. So the one case that really stood out was a case in Nebraska, and that case was a former smoker, or actually technically I guess he was still a smoker. He smoked cigarettes, and then 5 years ago he switched to vaping nicotine. And he was 68 years old when he died. And his case was just announced the beginning of the week. And one of the things that stood out from his description was that he didn't just die. He died in May. And that's a pretty long lag time between the time of death and the recording of an official case. And as I had mentioned earlier, it's likely that some of these cases don't really make it to the confirmed or probable level because they die before they actually are tested. And in this case, apparently he was tested, and they also had a CAT scan of his lungs, and they had listed on his death certificate that he had died of acute respiratory distress. And his wife thought that, well, he just died because he's been smoking for a long time, and it just was somehow related to the smoking, but not necessarily that it had a vaping component. And he was classified as a vaping case because of his CAT scan. And on his CAT scan, he had ground glass opacity. So that basically indicates that when they look at the image of his lungs, it's kind of like looking through ground glass. So, you can kind of see through it, but it's kind of fuzzy. You can't
Hold on. I need to get a better mental picture of this. When they're looking at his lungs, are we talking about an X-ray of his lungs, a CAT scan of his lungs? What are we talking
about? CAT scan.
Okay, so they do a CAT scan, and they try to look at the guy's lungs, and it looks like they are looking through some kind of ground glass. In fact, is that ground glass appearance, is that his lung tissue?
That's what his lung tissue looks like. It's fuzzy. So when you're looking at it, you're not getting a sharp image. You're getting these kind of white spots that you can kind of see through the white spots through the lung tissue. But it's cloudy and fuzzy, and it's kind of like looking through a ground glass window to see what's outside. And you can kind of make out shapes, and you can tell there's something there, and light goes
through.
That's
how bad the lung tissue looks? That's bad.
That's what nodules look like, right. And that is thought to be due to, fluids or tissues from the tissue kind of getting in the way, so you're not really able to see the structures well. And
right, but that's not popcorn lung, right? That's not popcorn.
That's not popcorn lung. This is ground glass opacity, which is usually seen in like a lung cancer, where you have these nodules, and they're probably obscured somewhat by what's going on with the cells. In this case, it's because the cells, there's probably inflammation, and there's leaking of the cells, and there's fluid there, and that's kind of getting in the way, and it's not allowing the CAT scan to get a sharp image. It's just kind of this
fuzzy kind of. I've never heard that something could block a CAT scan from imaging something correctly. So we're saying here is, wrap this up for me. Vaping, in this case, did lung damage that prevented the CAT scan from imaging the lungs properly.
Right, and it was the type of picture that they see in these vaping cases. So when the wife said, "Well, you know, you looked at his lungs, didn't his lungs just look like somebody had been smoking for a long time?" And I said, "No, they looked like somebody who had been vaping." And it showed up at the emergency room and couldn't breathe, and that it was characteristic of what the lung injury looks like in the current outbreak.
That's not good. That's not good at all. That's sounds like catastrophic damage to the basic structure of the lung tissue.
Right, right, and that's why they're not able to breathe. They just have. It's got this dying tissue, and they've got this fluid, and it's basically, not allowing the air to exchange, and so they're tired, and they're out of breath, and then it gets to the point where
they're dying,
can't
Henry.
Breathe.
They're dying.
Yeah, and then they go in to the hospital, and actually most of the ones that actually do die are older patients. There's most of them are 40 and older, and a few are, I mean, this one, he's 68. A few of them are over 65. A lot of them are in their 40s and 50s. The youngest one that I know of was a 27-year-old and, in Mississippi. And so they're generally older than the most of those that are vaping. Most of those that are vaping are, like 25 and under, and the vast majority are in that age range. 67%, I think, are 18 to 35, and then another 16% are under 18, and only about 16% are over 35.
All right. Now, when we say opacity, just for all of you out there, it's the root is. It's from the word opaque, opacity.
Right.
You look
so
through
you
an
can't
opaque
really
window.
See,
you don't see. It's
much
very cloudy.
Right.
It's muddled. You can't see through the glass. It's opaque. You've all seen opaque glass.
And that's what
before.
This ground glass is. It's what it looks like if you're looking through a ground glass window. I mean, if you look through that, you can. Somebody standing outside, you kind of see them, but they're kind of fuzzy. You can't really recognize who they are, but you can see that there is a figure there, and so the light goes through, but it's not very clear.
So, now there are two stories up, and if you want to, and I know a lot of you will want to read these in more detail. There are two stories up near the top. Of the news batch, I would say 12 and 13 from the top. The second one, number 13, is ground glass opacity linked to nicotine vaping. Ground glass opacity, that's the look that shows up on the CAT scan. It's not a sharp image of lung tissue. It's a mess. Now, this is from vapers, not smokers. Smokers' images don't have this problem. The second story, number 12, is lung damage from vaping resembles chemical burns. Now, that one is another. That's got images. You can see the pictures. It's up on Henry's Recombinomics site. If you don't know, Henry Nyman is the PhD founder and president of Recombinomics.com, and very, very important information there. Lung damage from vaping resembles chemical burns, new report says. Doctors at the Mayo Clinic examined samples of lung tissue from 17 patients, all of which looked as if the people had been exposed to toxic chemicals. Now, I'm wondering, Henry, if this is something that if they were to screen 1,000 people who vaped, how often would this chemical burn signature image show up?
I think it shows up in virtually all of them. That's what their
lungs
look like.
This is not good. This is not good.
So that was the big story that discounted the prior stories with regard to the lipid-laden macrophages as well as the lipoid pneumonia. And what these
now, let
guys
me tell
are
our
saying,
listeners,
these are...
let me tell our listeners what lipid-laden macrophages are. Lipids are fats. Macrophages are part of your immune system in your bloodstream that actually kills bacteria and virus. It eats them up, these macrophages. When they're lipid-laden or fat-coated, they can't perform. And the suggestion
is... Well, no, that means they've been eating lipids.
They've been trying to kill lipids instead of bacteria and virus, but they can't perform their normal function. All right, go ahead.
Well, they're full of lipids because there's so much lipids.
They're out of service, basically.
Right. So that was interpreted to mean that the vitamin E, which is kind of lipid-like contaminant, was in the lungs, and these macrophages were gobbling it all up. The one caveat of the lipid-laden macrophages is that it's just staining the lipids and seeing that they stain with this red dye, so they're all lit up as being full of lipid. But that wouldn't distinguish where the lipid came from. And one possibility is that the lipid came from the vaping. And the other possibility came from the dead cells that were being killed by the vaping. So they couldn't distinguish whether the lipid was exogenous, where it came from the vaping smoke by burning
external. Yeah.
The external or endogenous, where the cells were dying and they were kind of cleaning them up, and cells have membranes, and so there's all this membrane debris, and they're gobbling up the membrane debris, and so they become lipid-laden. And so this paper, which really wasn't long, it was really a letter. It was a letter to the editor, essentially. It had a lot, it almost has... it wasn't quite that close, but it probably had around 15 authors, and the paper was 3 or 4 paragraphs. So the list of authors is almost as long as the paper, but not really. That's a bit of an exaggeration. But anyway, it was just a one-page paper, but they did note that they looked at 17 patients, and 2 of them were fatal. A few were from a while back. I don't know. I was a little surprised that all but 2 were presented this year. So I'm not sure where these other 2 came from, to tell you the truth. And that may be signaling that there's a little bit more out there than has been reported. I mean, the case that had the ground glass opacity, it died in May, and he was kind of an example where, well, he was vaping and he died, and he had problem breathing, and was it from the vaping? And they looked at the CAT scan and they said, yeah, that looks like a vaping death or a vaping case, either way. But that doesn't look like being a lifelong smoker. That looks like the lungs of a vapor who's got this severe lung damage, which is killing people, and apparently killed him. So So back to this current one, I don't know where the two earlier cases came from, but they've got 17, and two of them were fatal cases. And they kind of explained the other issues away by saying that, as far as the lymphoid pneumonia, they said, well, it didn't really look exactly like lymphoid pneumonia. And so they kind of said it had some characteristics, but, they wouldn't put it in that classification. And then they said the lipid-laden macrophages were probably just it was endogenous. They were just cleaning up the debris, and right. The images really looked like burns. People that had been exposed to a chemical explosion, and they had inhaled the vapors from that explosion, and it had chemicals in it, and the chemicals ended up causing burns in their throat and lungs, and chemical burns. And that, that's what the lungs of these patients look like. And so that's kind of where that stands. They don't know what the chemical is causing the burns, and they really have no more information than saying it's chemical. But that's something to be determined. So we're getting ready to do a break here, and then I'll come back with a little more detail.
Oh, hold on. We're going to come back, and we're going to go over this again. And I would urge all of you to go to Headlines, and if you're vaping or you know anybody who does, you really want to look at these two stories, number 12 and 13, I believe, from the very top. Lung damage from vaping resembles chemical burns. That one we're going to go back to right after the break. This is a very unusual journey. We're walking through this in near real time as these developments occur, trying to bring them to you and explain. Certainly some of the information early on is proving to be incorrect or not going where it appeared it might go. But this lung damage from vaping resembling chemical burns apparently may very well apply to all who vape. Do you understand? I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but this is extremely important. Doctors at the Mayo Clinic examined samples of lung tissue from 17 patients, all of which looked as if the people had been exposed to toxic chemicals. This is a random look at 17 vapors who show up with lung injury. And the damage to the lungs is absolutely abnormal. Let me read this. The lung damage seen in people who have become ill after vaping nicotine or marijuana products. I'm going to repeat that. The lung damage.
71% were THC, the rest were not.
Thank you. Who have become ill after vaping nicotine or marijuana products, 71% of these people THC, resembles a chemical burn. Their findings, the doctors at the Mayo Clinic, are based on samples of lung tissue from 17 patients around the country whose biopsy specimens were sent to Mayo to be examined under the microscope by experts in lung pathology. Two samples came from patients who died. All 17 of our cases show a pattern of lung injury that looks like a toxic chemical exposure, a toxic chemical fume exposure, or a chemical burn injury to the lung tissue. To be honest, Dr. Brandon Larson said, they look like the kind of change you would expect to see in an unfortunate worker in an industrial accident where a big barrel of toxic chemicals spills and that person is exposed to toxic fumes and there is a chemical burn in the airways. Findings published today, New England Journal of Medicine. Henry?
Yep, that's the story. It was unexpected. Like he said, you know, people were talking about lipid-laden macrophages and street drugs and vitamin E acetate. And
lead soldering and, yeah, a lot
and lead
of things.
Soldering. Now, what the chemical is, isn't really clear where it's coming from. But, you know, as they indicated, only 71% of these patients said that they had smoked THC. The rest indicated that they had just smoked nicotine. Now, some people, when they hear that, they think that, well, those 29%, they said they didn't smoke THC, but, you know, the THC might have been illegal where they were, and so they basically just said it was nicotine, and I don't know, a few of these might have been from relatives. I mean, you know, two of them were dead, you know, so they weren't interviewed, and people that insist that vaping is fine and that this is a an issue with people that are looking for THC or the other cannabinoids that they basically were getting bad drugs off the street and they had these contaminants and that's what's causing the problem. But
that may not be true.
No, there's good data that says that isn't true because you know, the two cases that died, they were former smokers and they didn't really quite fit the profile that they'd been smoking tobacco all this time for the nicotine. And they switched to vaping and all of a sudden they decided to throw some THC in. And so their two deaths are, you know, one's the age isn't really clear, it's just over 35. And the other one was 68, and they both were heavy smokers that had switched to vaping. But on top of that, the study that was done in Wisconsin and Illinois, a somewhat smaller percentage of those cases said they were nicotine only. And four of them, were given urine tests, and two of those four tested negative. And one of them that was positive said that he had smoked marijuana, cigarettes, you know, joints or whatever. And that's where his THC, but his vaping was just nicotine. And the other one, you know, apparently, he didn't have an explanation for how the THC got in his urine, so he probably misrepresented or he didn't realize what he was smoking. I don't know. But in any event, those were examples where A, they said they didn't smoke THC, and B, they gave a urine sample, and the urine sample was negative for THC. So some of these, you know, exactly what the percentage is, in this case, on paper, it was 29%. It might have been lower, but it almost certainly wasn't zero. And they couldn't tell the difference. They all looked the same. They all looked like they had chemical burn. And
let's just call it 70-30, and just for fun. I'm very concerned that this Mayo Clinic publication of information is suggestive that this kind of chemical burn syndrome to the lungs, which is quite noticeable when you see the pictures, may be endemic to the practice of vaping, no matter who does it. You're damaging your lungs. And that leads to the second question. Can the lungs recover from such, quote, chemical burn syndrome injuries as we're seeing in these images? So first of all, is it safe to say at this point that it might be a factor of vaping across the board? It might be. Is that a possible?
That's a possibility. And it's possible that one relatively new development was what I talked about before, was Juul had filed a patent in 2016 that issued in 2017. And, that described, the ability to regulate the temperature of their device and jack the temperature up to 290 degrees centigrade, which was 554 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty hot. So that they could vaporize the glycerol base, which is what the THC and the CBDs were in. And so I'm not sure how recent that is, historically, how long you could go up that high. And, that could help explain why, it's a sudden explosion now. Is that, whatever, and it could even be in the device conceivably, but the higher temperature kind of releases a chemical that goes into the vapor that gets inhaled by the person that's vaping. And it's something that would be found in the two different bases. One is the higher temperature, one for the THC and the DCBs, and the other is in the nicotine base that's more water soluble.
I got it. So, but what we're saying here is there's some artifact of vaping that may not be identified yet that is resulting in the introduction of an unidentified chemical into the vape itself, which is causing this really extraordinarily alarming damage to the lungs. And if this is a vaping-wide artifact, there are a lot of people who have damaged the hell out of their lungs.
Right. And it could be something that's temperature-dependent. And so that would explain why it is more common in the THC, because the THC, they know they better go to this higher temperature because the boiling point of the base is higher. Whereas it may be kind of an accident for the ones that are smoking nicotine, because they really don't have to go that high. But I think this is a relatively new feature, and I suspect a lot of people that are vaping don't even realize, what temperature it should be at, and some might just experiment and just keep cranking it higher and higher, even though they don't have to, and either to get
we're speculating
more smoke
now, everyone.
Quicker.
We're speculating that this may be a temperature-related issue. We don't know.
Right, but it's got to be something fairly recent, because you know, even though some of this could have gone unnoticed, is just is rather striking how many people are coming up with, you know, like we said, there's over 1,000 cases in the U.S. There's, you know, the last count was 805.
Those are identified cases. Yes.
But all of these states have a bunch of suspect cases that they haven't got the test result back. And actually, tomorrow,
how many vapors are there in the country? Do we know, Henry? Millions. They're millions. Have to be.
It's got to be in the millions because, I mean, the numbers that are cited is it's 40% of high school seniors and,
right.
And, you know, 20% of high school students. And, it's got to be a reasonable number of college students. And so, you can just kind of go through that. Just take people 25 and under and you're probably going to get a few million out of that. Fairly easily. So I don't know the exact statistics. I know that vaping, at least up until a couple of weeks ago, was definitely on the rise, and tobacco smoking was in the form of cigarettes was actually declining in the younger population, and so high school or college students. So what this is going to do that is kind of unclear. I mean, like I say, you got these different groups that go on Twitter and you got these vapors that, insist that they shouldn't even call what the people taking THC are doing is vaping because they're just trying to get THC and they're kind of using this device and it's not real vaping and da, 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 da. And they're saying, there's no documented cases of anyone that got this lung injury from just smoking nicotine. And then we say, it's only 70% or THC or 80% depending upon the area. And you got 20-30% to say they're nicotine. And they're all lying. They're all taking THC. If they got this, they got THC. And it's a street drug, and it doesn't really have anything to do with, normal vaping and people that are vaping nicotine.
Let me read this again.
Stop or not start smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, Henry sent this to me earlier, and it should be very alarming. I think what we need to have here is the beginning of a very widespread testing of people, imaging of their lungs, just normal vapors who are not complaining of any problems, to see if there is this repetition of what appear to be chemical burns to the lungs. Here's the Mayo Clinic surgical pathologist, Dr. Brandon Larson. All 17 of our cases show a pattern of injury in the lung that looks like a toxic chemical exposure, a toxic chemical fume exposure, or a chemical burn injury to the lungs. To be honest, they look like the kind of change you would expect to see in an unfortunate worker in an industrial accident where a big barrel of toxic chemicals spills and that person is exposed to toxic fumes and there is a chemical burn in the airways and the lungs as a response. And I think we need to have a widespread evaluation of people who vape. I think at this point, I'll repeat it, until we know, I would suggest all people vaping stop for the time being. What do you got to lose? Nothing. Don't do it. That's me saying it.
And that's what the problem is, because you've got these You know, you got all these different interest groups out there. You know, you got people that are vaping, and they're saying there's nothing wrong with the vaping. It's just these
there's store owners, they're protecting their income and all that.
And people are kind of getting involved with that, and then others are saying, well, it's not even a street drug. It's just THC, and it's a lot more. You know, it's a bigger problem than people make out or realize, and it should never be legalized. And this is what happens. So look at all these people. They're just trying to get high, and they're, you know, killing themselves. And it's because of, you know, its availability and legalization in some states, et cetera. And unfortunately, it's just a very muddled kind of picture. And then there's others that say, well, the problem's in the flavoring, and there's chemicals that are in the flavoring, and that's what's causing the problem. And
we've got to have widespread testing of all people who vape to find out if these chemical burn injuries are consistent.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that it's gonna be that you know, unless there's a temperature dependence, and you got some people that only do nicotine, and they do it at a lower temperature, and that whatever's in the fumes or the vaping smoke. Yeah, I guess they don't like the term smoke, but anyway, whatever's being inhaled, it could be temperature dependent, and if they use the lower temperature, that it doesn't get released, and their lungs would look better. And if they use the higher temperature, then they get into trouble. And the ones that are doing the THC and the CBDs, those are at the higher temperature because they're in a base that's got a boiling point is at like 554 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, it's 290 degrees centigrade. Anyway, and so they do have to go to the higher temperature to get their product, whereas the nicotine could do it at a lower temperature. So it's possible that the ones that have just been doing it for nicotine, that they're in better shape because they don't really get exposed because they don't.
But we have the distinct possibility that the temperature explanation you just articulately gave is not relevant to the damage that we're seeing in the Mayo Clinic, in the x-rays, CAT scans. We need a lot of people who vape to be checked with CAT scans to see their lung tissue, to see if it shows these chemical burn indications. And if they do, if it's an across-the-board result of vaping, vaping has to go immediately. I don't know if the human lung can recover from injuries like these. Chemical burns, I don't know. If there's scar tissue left, I don't know anything about it. But this is a very, very alarming issue, and I hope all of you out there listen very carefully. We don't want to lose anybody, especially in this audience. And if it is an artifact of vaping, period, we got a big problem. There are millions of people now who have damaged the hell out of their lungs. We don't know. Something's causing it.
I mean, like you say, it's doable. It's still on the early side to try to figure out exactly what is happening, but it's definitely, yeah, as I said, it's in these 17 patients, and I doubt that all 17 of them were doing THC when only 71% said they did. It's going to be some percentage. It might not be 29%, but even if it's one or two, if you got one or two that didn't take THC, and they still got the same appearance on the CAT scans. These are staining actually. So these are really coming from, you know, kind of biopsied or bronchial.
It's a biopsy issue. That's right.
This isn't the CAT scans was for the the lungs of the ground
opacity.
Glass. Opacity.
Yeah.
And,
okay. And, how did they do?
And frankly, that may be showing up also, that they just don't have as many,
well, remember, if you're looking at a biopsy, you're looking at something outside the body, and it wouldn't have that look necessarily that a CAT scan would be reading internally. How is a biopsy performed? Is it a needle through the rib cage into the lung? Do you know?
Well, a few of these were bronchial lavages. I'm not sure how they actually get the tissues, whether they go in through the lung or whether they...
We need widespread testing
on all
who vape to find out if these chemical burns are present in biopsy tissue. This got to be done. And,
yeah, because a lot of these patients would be probably hooked up to ECMO machines, and you know they're bringing materials out and going back in. But I guess those are fluids, but they since they're already intubated, they may be able to go in and get some material that way because they're already hooked up. But it is going to get cleared up. It's taken longer than most people would like, but the science should be able to figure out what's going on here and figure it out pretty conclusively. And that's all what right. I expect. But I'm not sure how quick it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Henry, thank you. This is big stuff, and I'm alarmed by this. The potential here?
Yeah, it was. So like I say, it was just published today, so we'll see. It's being covered in many of the media reports. But I don't know. You know, some people aren't going to believe it anyway. I've already seen people
posting on
Twitter saying that there's some money in it for the Mayo Clinic or something. I don't know. Yeah, everybody always has motive. But
good luck.
A lot of these guys will say almost anything, especially on Twitter.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much,
you
Henry. Thanks.
Okay. Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. The stories are up there, I think 12 and 13 from the top of headlines. Take a look. Use common sense. Connect the dots. Let's see where it goes. We'll see. All right. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care.